Jeremiah 1:5. Behold, I formed you in the womb. I knew you before you were born. I set for
Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Jeremiah 1:5.
I tell you, we couldn't get along without you folks. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Psalm 16:11. Psalm 9:10. Those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 9:10. Those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 9:10. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Matthew 11:29. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Jeremiah chapter 2? Verses 4 and 5. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Also, if you'll turn to Jeremiah chapter 1, we'll be looking at verses 1 and 2 again. Jeremiah 2, 4 and 5. Jeremiah 1, 1 and 2. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours always to spend time with our minds focused upon the eternal truths of your word. We're the recipients of grace. We're the recipients of salvation. We're the recipients of blessings every single day. There are so many things for us to express our deep appreciation for in life. We thank you for life itself. We thank you for our families. We thank you for the mothers. We thank you for the fact that you've given us privileges on top of privileges, and we are aware of the fact that we do not deserve these. We're not worthy of any of these blessings, but we bow to express again our thanks for the fact that you care for us and love us and bless us. Bless us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin this session by telling you that in the study of the book of Jeremiah, there are so many things for us to learn, so much information here. And I've tried to abbreviate it as I've moved along. And I'm aware of the fact that in trying to abbreviate information is rather dangerous because it leaves out so much. And or, on the other hand, it causes me to do what I did in the first session today. I'm challenged to go and read for you, along with you, these verses. And that's what we did this session this morning, in the first session. In this session, I'm going to be giving you information that you can copy down if you'd like, just abbreviated, so that we can have some outlines. I want to let you look with me at Jeremiah 2, 4 and 5, and we'll read those verses first. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. I have them marked for me to be able to read them to you. Jeremiah 2, 4. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. 5. Thus says the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain? The other passage that I wanted you to see is Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The word of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anatoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign." I wanted to show you that in verses 4 and 5, we have Jeremiah, in the calling of Jeremiah, and the judgment presented by God through Jeremiah. So I'm going to put on the screen Jeremiah 2. You will need to write verses 1 to 25 and verse 38. I would encourage you, after this session is over, sometime even this day if possible, to read Jeremiah 2, verses 1 through 25 and verse 38. On the screen now, you're going to see a brief summary of the emphasis on Jeremiah's calling and messages of judgment in verses 2, 4, 5, and beginning with chapter 2, verses 1 to 25 and verse 38. You'll notice preface to the book of Jeremiah. The book contains the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, which were communicated by the Lord to him from the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, 626 or 627 B.C., through the 11th year of Zedekiah, unto the exile of Judah in the 15th month. This is described in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. We have the calling and the commission of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet to the nations before his birth and encouraged to speak his words of judgment and restoration, even though the people will resist him. This is presented in chapter 1, verses 4 through 19. There's an emphasis there upon Jeremiah's call and the commission to this great prophet to the nations, and it emphasizes the fact that this calling and this commission came before his birth and was encouraged to speak words of judgment and restoration to the people, and they would resist that information. The call of Jeremiah is presented in this passage of Scripture. Jeremiah was chosen by the Lord before his birth to be a prophet of his words to the nations, and he's encouraged to speak his words of judgment and restoration. And that's found in chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. The clarification of Jeremiah's call is presented then by means of two visions. Jeremiah is told of coming judgment for Judah, which the people will resist, but when the Lord will bring, which the Lord will bring upon them or bring to pass. The two visions, and you don't need to write all these scriptures down, but write the two visions. One of them is the rod of the almond tree, presented in chapter 1, verses 11 and following through verse 16. And then the pot of boiling water, which is emphasizing coming judgment by the nations from the north in chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. I'm aware of the fact that you cannot take all of this down, but I wanted you to have somewhat of an overview of the work that is found in these chapters. There's a charge that is given to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is urged to gird himself up and to begin prophesying with the knowledge that even though he will be resisted, God's promises will prevail. And that's presented in chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. We will not get into this in detail now, but I want you to see that at this point, there are 10 messages of judgment upon Judah's kings and false prophets so that they might repent. There are 10 messages, and I have a list of these. We'll not be going into them in detail, but I want you to see the messages, 10 messages that are presented by the message of judgment upon Judah's kings. Through a series of 10 messages, Jeremiah exposes the disobedience of the people of Judah, pronounces necessary judgment as a consequence for them and the nations of the world as they refuse to heed the word of God. This is presented in the second chapter, verses 1 to 25, and then over into 38. You will not be able to take this information down, but let me just read, for instance, message 1. Israel is accused of breaking the covenant by forsaking God and trusting in idols. That's the first message that Jeremiah gives in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 5. So we have message number 1. Israel is accused of breaking the covenant by forsaking God and trusting in idols. You'll notice that in the scripture reading we had today, I asked Joyce when she was going through the various passages that we were going to be reading, and I emphasized, as you remember, the word covenant. We gave you those in that first session this morning. Message number 1, Israel is accused of breaking the covenant by forsaking God and trusting idols. That's the first message that is given here by Jeremiah the prophet, found in chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3, and then over into verse 5. Message number 2 is found in chapter 3, verses 6 and following. Judah will be judged due to its rejection of God and its refusal to repent. So message number 2 is presented in chapter 3. If you're taking the verses down, 6, and it goes all the way into chapter 6, verse 30. That message broken down some. God calls his people to repent in chapter 3, 6, over to verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4. The B part, God's wrath will come upon Judah and Jerusalem. That's presented in chapter 4, verses 5 to 31. There's the destruction of Jerusalem will come because it is turned away from God. That's presented in chapter 5 of Jeremiah, verses 1 through 31. And then the complete rejection of the Lord by the people requires judgment. And that's presented in chapter 6, verses 1 through 20. What I'm trying to do now is just let you see that Jeremiah presents to us 10 messages, and I'm just trying to give you a little brief outline if you're interested in putting this down. Message number 3, is ritual will not save, only God can save, and that's in chapter 7, verses 1 through chapter 10, verse 25. That's message number 3. If you look that and break it down some, the temple address, salvation will not come through ritual. That goes into chapter 7, 1 through 8, chapter 8, verse 3. Then the false trust of the nation is in chapter 7, verses 1 to 28. And I don't want to confuse you because I know that you're not going to be able to take all of this down. I'm going to ask our secretary to get it on the internet so you'll be able to go there and find it if you'd like. You find also here the temple address that deals with the subject of salvation, and that's found in chapter 7, all into chapter 8, verse 3. Jeremiah's lament for Judah is found in chapter 7, 29. Salvation will not come through man's foolishness. That's presented in chapter 8, verse 4, through chapter 9, verse 22. Then there's an emphasis on the subject of apostasy, which says that apostasy only leads to national destruction. And that's found in chapter 8, verses 4, over into chapter 9, verse 1. Also here we find man's foolishness leads to destruction. That's presented in chapter 9, verses 2 through 22. Then there's an emphasis upon idol worship versus the wisdom of the true God in chapters 9 and 10. The wisdom of knowing the Lord is in chapter 9, 23 to 26. There's an emphasis upon the subject of foolishness versus wisdom that's found in chapter 10. Then the message 4 is rebellion against God, and that's found in chapter 11. Message number 5 is Jeremiah gives 5 warnings to Judah of judgment due to their pride. That's in chapter 13. Most of us are familiar now with the loincloth, the girdle of Jeremiah, and that is found in chapter 13, and we've already emphasized that. In chapter 13, there's also the emphasis on the wine jugs, which is a picture of God's wrath, which will come and fill the people. That's the reason why we have the filling of the wine jugs. Then there's an emphasis on pride, the warning against pride in chapter 13, warning against rulers in chapter 13, warning against the fact that the sin brings discipline and judgment in chapter 13. And then that takes us to the 6th message of judgment that is found in chapter 14, verses 1 through 17, then over into verse 27. The Lord does not allow Jeremiah to intercede for Judah. That's presented in chapter 14, 1 through, and then into chapter 15. Again, I say, I'm aware of the fact that you cannot get all this down, and that's okay. The Lord tells Jeremiah of certain coming judgment in chapter 15. The Lord deals with Jeremiah by proclaiming his purpose for the people, and that's found also in the chapter 16. Message number 7 is emphasizing that since God is sovereign, the nation is to submit to his way. A judgment is coming. This is presented in chapters 18, 19, and 20. God is sovereign like a potter with clay, presented in chapter 18. The destruction of the nation will be like the breaking of an earthen vessel, presented in chapter 19. Then there's the message number 8. Jeremiah emphasizes that the city is going to be judged by God, and there is no way out. So to be in God's will, they must leave the land. And that's presented in chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. Zedekiah requests mercy in his time of trouble. That's presented in chapter 21. Jeremiah affirms that the Lord is at war with Jerusalem. That's in chapter 21. Jeremiah urges the nation to surrender to Babylon or to fight and to die in chapter 21. Jeremiah urges the house of David to obey. That's chapter 21. Then there's message number 9. You can see that there are 10 messages of Jeremiah. This chapter, I believe it's chapter 22, is the 9th message. Jeremiah affirms that the wicked leaders, kings, prophets are leading the people astray, but that the good shepherd gathers the people, resulting in the principle that obedience leads always to blessing, but disobedience leads to cursing. Then we go to chapter 22, a warning to the people. There's an exhortation to Zedekiah in chapter 22. The curse from Jehoiakim, the destiny curse of Coniah, the work of the good shepherd in chapter 23. Message number 10, judgment is certain from Judah to the whole world, and that's found in chapter 25. Now, I realize that I've given you a lot of information. This will be on the internet if you're interested in getting this outline. I do want to close today by emphasizing some things in relationship to Jesus Christ, our Savior, in relationship to the book of Jeremiah. So I'm going to move all of this off and give it to our secretary if she so desires. And then I'm going to ask you, if you will, to take a few notes in relationship to what I call getting acquainted with Jeremiah and Jesus. Getting acquainted with Jeremiah and Jesus. We see Jesus in the book of Jeremiah. Jesus Christ, number 1, is pictured as the fountain of living waters. I'm going to give you time if you want to take this. It is found in chapter 2, verse 13. Jesus Christ is presented in the book of Jeremiah as the fountain of living waters. So much in the New Testament about water and about Jesus and about living water and about so many things related to the fountain. And so all I want you to do here is to see that Jeremiah is presenting Jesus as the fountain of living water in chapter 2, verse 13. Number 2, Jesus is also presented as the great physician by Jeremiah in chapter 8, verse 22. You may want to write that one down. Jeremiah 8:22, Jesus is presented as the great physician. Number 3, Jesus is presented as the good shepherd in chapter 31, in chapter 10, and chapter 23. Jesus Christ is presented by the prophet Jeremiah as the great physician in Jeremiah 8:22, 31, 10, 23, 4. Number 4, Jesus Christ is presented as the righteous branch. We have information that has been an insert into your bulletin in the last few sessions in relationship to this branch. And I trust you have kept it and reserved it, and you will look at it often. But there's an emphasis in the fact that Jesus is the righteous branch in chapter 23, verse 5. Number 5, Jesus Christ is presented by the prophet Jeremiah as David the king in chapter 30, verse 9. Jesus is presented as David the king, chapter 30, verse 9. Number 6, Jesus Christ is presented as the Redeemer. Jesus Christ is presented as the Redeemer in chapter 50, verse 34. What's also interesting about the book of Jeremiah is that not only do you have the fact that Jesus Christ is presented as the fountain, the great physician, the good shepherd. By the way, I'll interrupt myself again to let you see that when he talks about the great physician, there's a song, "Is There a Balm in Gilead?" All you musicians are familiar with that. "Is There a Balm in Gilead?" or Gilead. And you'll find that in Jeremiah 8:22. Jesus Christ is presented as the great physician. Jesus is the righteous branch, chapter 23:5. David the king, chapter 30, verse 9. Jesus is presented as the Redeemer in chapter 50, verse 34. Please notice that there are many symbols in the book of Jeremiah. Can I just present a few to you very quickly? We see the symbols of the almond rod, the almond rod, and that's found in chapter 1. I'll just point these out to you. The almond rod, we see some symbols used, chapter 1. We have the boiling cauldron in chapter 1. We have the marred girdle in chapter 13. We've analyzed that. We have the full bottle in chapter 13. We have an emphasis on the drought in chapter 13. We have the potter's vessel is a symbol in chapter 18. We have the broken bottle in chapter 19. If you're taking some of these things down, there is the two baskets of figs in chapter 24. There is also bonds and bars in chapter 27. These are symbols that are used in the book of Jeremiah. In chapter 32, there's an emphasis upon buying a field. Some of you may be interested in reading chapter 32. the symbol of buying a field. In chapter 43, there's a symbol of hidden stones. Very interesting. Hidden stones in chapter 43. There's also an emphasis on a book sunk in the Euphrates. You won't find this unless you read it in the 51st chapter of the book of Jeremiah. It's been interesting to me to find that Jeremiah was moved upon as a young man. God moved upon him. God knew him before he was born. The scripture, of course, we know that God knows all of us before we're born. But we discover some things about this young man. Some scholars say that he was between 16 and 20 at the time that God moved into his life and began to direct him. At first, he was reluctant to accept the responsibility. And he said, I'm a young man. And the Lord said that that's not an excuse. So in case any of you are wondering whether or not you're to be in the service of the Lord about your age, don't worry about that. God knows how to take care of all those things. He was reluctant to accept responsibility, perhaps around the age of 20. Israel's apostasy was at an all-time high. High likened to an espoused wife who had forsaken her husband for promiscuous association with men, making herself a common profligate. We could go into discussion there. The challenges as a young man. One, he was reluctant. Apostasy. The different problems. Judah being worse, as described in chapter 2. Israel had split off 300 years before. Judah and some 100 years before had been carried away captive by the Assyrians. And Judah, being blind to the significance of Israel's fall, did not repent, and under the wicked reign of Manasseh had sunk lower and lower into depravity. Now we have an emphasis on the different individuals who reigned. Manasseh, for instance, reigned was for 55 years, king of Judah. 697-642 B.C. And it was during this time that Jeremiah was born. The next king was Amon, A-M-O-N, 641-640 B.C. He reigned for 2 years, the son of Manasseh. Then Josiah came on the scene as king of Judah from 639-608 B.C., reigning 31 years as a good king. It was the 13th year of Josiah's reign that Jeremiah began his ministry. There seemed to be a reformation, but in reality it was only outward, because at heart the people were evil and they were still idolaters. And so other contemporary kings came on the scene. Jehoahaz, 608 B.C., 3 months. Jehoiakim, 608-597, 11 years. A man defiant of God, openly for idols, and a bitter enemy of Jeremiah. Then came on Jehoiachin, 597 B.C., only lasted 3 months, was carried to Babylon. Then came on Zedekiah from 597-586 B.C., 11 years. He's been described as a weak king, but rather friendly to Jeremiah. So we have an emphasis then on these various kings and the various dates. Quickly, before we go, 627 B.C., Reformation time under King Josiah. We find that described in 2 Chronicles. 626 B.C., God called Jeremiah. 626 B.C., Scythian invasion. Chapter 4, swarms of barbarians from the north struck terror to the nations of the Southwest Asia, a terrific blow to the tottering Assyrian power. 621 B.C., a book was found. We haven't even talked about that. Josiah's Great Reformation came, 2 Kings 22-23. 608 B.C., Josiah slain at Megiddo by Pharaoh. 607 B.C., Nineveh destroyed by Babylon. Some say 612 B.C. 606 B.C., Judah subdued by Babylon. First captivity, 605 B.C., Babylon crushed Egypt, battle of Carchemish. 597 B.C., Jehoiachin's captivity. 593 B.C., Zedekiah's visit to Babylon. 586 B.C., some of these numbers, these dates are recognized by you. 586 B.C., Jerusalem burned, the temporary end of David's kingdom. Notice above that Jeremiah was called to the prophetic office in 626 B.C., and Jerusalem was partly destroyed in 606 B.C., with further devastation in 597, and finally burned and desolated 586. Jeremiah lived through 40 terrible years, a pathetic and lonely figure, a weeping prophet in the midst of a people who would not repent, hopelessly and fanatically attached to idols. You've listened very well. I've given a lot of information. If you want it in detail, contact our secretary or get on the internet. You'll find the information. You're good listeners. Let's pray together, please. Father, thank you for the time we've had together today. Your word is wonderful. There's so many things for us to learn here. Help us realize, most of all, that when individuals communicate God's word, it calls us to repentance, calls us to a right relationship to Jesus Christ, so that we can fulfill that magnificent plan that you have for us, that we'll be victorious, triumphant, and great witnesses for Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down, and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. He is our God. He is our God. We are the people of His pasture. He is our God. He is our God. We are the sheep of His hand. Come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Pasture. Let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord.